A couch potato warning is in effect as DirecTV transforms Thanksgiving into Streamsgiving. DirecTV's got free TV nationwide. With a heavy front of 60-plus live channels and a steady stream of streaming apps, conditions are perfect for nonstop entertainment. So hunker down on the couch and sign up for your free trial of My Entertainment from DirecTV. I'm going to watch some free TV.
Start streaming My Entertainment from DirecTV now at streamsgiving.com. My free is free. Paid services. 5-day free trial, then auto renews monthly. Cancel anytime. Temporary credit hold may apply. Restrictions apply. See streamsgiving.com for details. AI produced.
CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Katrina Vandenhove, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine, to comment on these days after the president's uneven and a very tenuous presentation during the debate with Donald Trump, and what it means for the Ukraine war, for the conflict in Europe, for NATO, for the fact that the NATO nations will be gathering in Washington in a few days' time to discuss the future of Europe, given the contretemps of these last years. Katrina, I begin with a story that is as domestic and political as it possibly could. The Democratic National Committee is considering formally nominating Joe Biden as early as mid-July to ensure that the president is on November ballots while helping to stamp out intra-party chatter of replacing him after last week's poor debate performance. Intra-party, yes, but we go immediately to overseas because given the doubts that have been expressed these last days by the Democratic Party, we can easily speculate there are doubts in Kyiv and doubts in Moscow. But what kind of doubts? How do you measure the president's conduct and how it's viewed in Moscow particularly and Kyiv particularly? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I've been in touch with a few Russian friends. And there's a lot of surprise that it was such an uneven, as you put it politely, debate. Joe Biden couldn't even lay out coherently his Ukraine policy. But I think it's overstated in this country how much Trump is a creature, to say the least, of the Kremlin. I think Trump will be very tough, if he's elected, very tough on Russia. There are stories of two or three people in his campaign who presented him with how to deal with Ukraine, and it's not simple. Kyiv, I don't know, I admit. I think the European elections, John, certainly those in France, I don't speak for the UK, but they're locked down in a Cold War posture. The French election is more interesting in terms of its relationship to Russia, and they may be looking more carefully at Europe, which would be a measure of things.
I agree with you. Let's speak of the French, because that's a big piece of NATO and a huge piece of the EU. Germany and France are the engines.
Absolutely.
And France now has gone through the first round of two, in which it appears that it's unpredictable, but that it might be a hung parliament, I think is the British term for it, an assembly that can neither be this nor that. However, right. The result would be that Mr. Macron would not have the carte blanche that he's enjoyed these years to speculate about foreign policy, in particular Ukraine. Do you consider that to me a major change?
I do, because I think Macron has been, volatile. I mean, he's gone from trying to broker a peace accord in the last years to being the one who talks about sending foreign legion troops to Ukraine. So I think he will be neutered in many ways. The National Front may have strong power in this parliament, in this election, and what that means will be very interesting. I mean, for Europe, the NATO issue is much more existential. I think they would like to return it more to a European enterprise. I think the Ukraine is more existential for them as they speak to it. I don't think it is, but there's grave concern about this nonsense, in my view, of Russia expanding to rebuild an empire. But I do think the European elections will have its own weight, though we're focused on the United States. Let me put it this way. If Biden stepped down, first of all, legally or party legally, it would move to Kamala Harris unless he released his delegates, which would be very interesting but fractious and terrifying to the DNC, which, as you noted, has just announced they may move up Biden's nomination to mid-July and not wait till mid-August. But no one who's being talked about, John, whether Gretchen Whitmer or Gavin Newsom or Steve Beshear of Kentucky, who knows what their policy is. But if it's a Democratic line, and I mean party line, it's, you know, go for it and continuing the war. So that's not a difference that's being discussed.
There were some strange doings in that debate stage. And another one was the other guy, former President Trump, saying, if I'm made president or I'm elected president, I'll settle that war by the time I'm inaugurated. How did you hear that, Katrina?
Well, he also said he'd bring back Evan Gershkovitz, who should not be in prison. He's been blathering. I mean, it's not blathering. That's not. He's been saying that, boasting of that. But again, if you look at the MAGA 2025, the 2025 report, it's not that simple. Certainly on China, it's quite hawkish. But on Russia, it's unclear. I think he talks that game. But what would he rebuild the nuclear arms control agreements? Would he have real dialogue, or is that just speaking to his people? I don't know. But I do think one thing I do know is we would not see the escalation we're seeing under Biden. Under the radar, John, and you may have seen this, there's talk now of sending advisors. Yes. To deal with the weapons. Think of that. That, to me, and I wasn't old enough to remember the depth and horror of Vietnam, but that's the slippery slope. And escalation increases. And the danger here is that Biden may go very hawkish if he stays in to show how bold and strong he is. In my mind, toughness has never been about being hard-headed or militaristic. But that could be, if he stays in, that could be an offshoot, a ramification of this debate.
The British government is about to change sides as well, and Labour is an unknown to me. I don't associate Labour with a hawkish position. Perhaps that's necessary for election. But that's the UK is a driver of NATO. We're looking at major components here of our European allies suddenly being unpredictable.
Yeah.
Is Moscow ready to negotiate with all those simultaneously? It's not just going to be one position anymore.
Well, I think, as we've talked about, John, Russia's increasingly moving eastward. It's disgusted, I think, with what's been going on with NATO. It is the case we're going to have a big week coming up.
Yeah.
The week of July 11, 9 to 11 will be celebration in D.C. of NATO, as opposed to sort of sober reckoning with whether NATO has brought us more security or insecurity.
And a new general secretary, Rutev.
I met him many years ago. I interpreted for Dima Muratov, the Nobel Peace Prize winning Russian editor of Novaya Gazeta, with Rute, now again from English, the Russian to English. He's very hawkish. I'm sad to report that my homeland, the Netherlands, is very hawkish across the board. And then there's the EU, and I want to say the Estonian prime minister, a woman, is going to be head of the OSCE or EU, which is
Kaja Kallas, the Estonian prime minister.
And the hawkishness of the Baltics may be better understood, but it's very hawkish in terms of Russia and very fear-mongering in terms of any kind of dialogue even. Now, Zelensky's been doing a tour, as you may know. I know he did an interview with I worked with her in Moscow, Rubin, I'm blanking on her name, but she did a big interview for the Philadelphia Inquirer with Zelensky about peace. And there's talk of another peace summit, maybe without Russia again. But I think there's more dialogue back channel than we understand. There's no real money or more weapons. There may be more advisors, but that's not weapons.
Katrina Vandenhoven, the editorial director and the publisher of The Nation magazine, also a columnist at The Washington Post. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.